Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings. Welcome on board the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe McGranahan is directly across from me, and we have a very slight headphone, so everybody just talk among yourselves
Hello.
For a minute. None of this is helping?
No, not a bit of it. I wonder if something's going wrong with the...
I found it.
No, well, it's gone again, so...
Oh, so you want it here? Here,
no, it's a
here,
little higher, a little
here,
higher, a little higher.
Here, here.
I hate to
here.
Tell you, but it's completely gone.
No.
Anyway, we'll...
Oh, okay. I see. I'm doing the wrong one. This one. Check 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Yes, it's getting louder. Keep going. Keep going.
Boy, are you deaf. This is up all the way.
Well, it's...
Oh, it cut
through.
Out altogether.
In any event, I'll just do it without him, or I'll find another plug here to put it to.
I can hear Kevin yelling from up the hall. He's saying, don't do this kind of stuff on the air.
I agree with him. Let's go.
Oh, okay. Hey, welcome on board, everybody. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. Mr. Joe McGranahan is directly across from me, and he is our good co-host. He's the mayor of Sham Dam and head of Global Tsunami Response and a wide range of other...
I gave that up. I'm now working on...
Oh, that's right.
I'm now working on earthquakes.
And what are you like? You have emeritus status at the American Numismatic Association.
Right.
But to this very day, and now in increasing measure, his favorite title is...
Papa.
At the dinner table. So.
Or anytime. I don't care where they call me that.
They being the grandchildren.
The
so
grandsons.
Super.
My two grandsons. Wonderful little kids.
Well, and let's see. Somebody famous just left Facebook because...
Yes, that was a story I brought in this morning.
Oh.
Mark Hamill.
Oh, okay, the Star Wars guy.
Mm-hmm. And a very interesting reason why he did it. He did it because he's upset over the fact that they will not edit or police political ads at Facebook.
Okay, so he's fed up.
I guess he is. I mean, it's a very interesting story, and I think it ties in with a story I saw on CNN that I thought was very slanted. But the headline of the story was Star Wars icon Mark Hamill quits Facebook over political ads. He played Luke Skywalker, of course. Hamill made the announcement.
Let me pause you there if I can, because this relates to our conversation. The reason Joe goes on Facebook is to see photographs and updates on people's grandchildren.
Or their children or their lives.
All right, their lives, right, but not political ads. Okay, now, that's
the... I never
the post seg-
anything political.
I wanted to be clear about that. No, you just torture us with your views.
I torture you with my views.
Thank you.
Last week, Facebook announced that it would continue to let politicians run advertisements, and it would not police the truthfulness of the messages posted. Ultimately, we don't think decisions about political ads should be made by private companies, said Rob Leatherman, Facebook's director of product management. In the absence of regulation, Facebook and other companies are left to design their own policies. We have based ours on the principle that people should be able to hear from those who wish to lead them, warts and all, and that what they say should be scrutinized and debated in public. Facebook's former security chief, Alex Stamos, said he was disappointed, like Hamill, that the company was not policing whether politicians should purposely be misrepresenting what their opponents were saying. The BBC said, he said, I would limit fact-checking to claims about opponents. So, in our business, if the candidate makes what's called a use of the ad, which means that the candidate is identified or identifiable on the ad, we can't edit what they say.
Mm-hmm. No matter what they say.
Well, there was one exception to that. A few years ago, a guy named Larry Flint, who was the publisher of Hustler magazine, decided he was going to run for president. I think he's probably dead now. But he decided he was going to run, because of this rule, he was going to run clips from pornographic movies in his campaign ads. And the FCC carved out an extension that you cannot run pornography or, violent, disgusting material. So that's called the Flint exception.
No matter how appealing
it is to some
people.
No matter how appealing it may be. Yeah, you know, so I agree with Facebook's position. I mean, it is up to the buyer to determine whether or not what a campaign says is true. And let's face it, they all distort their opponents' positions. You know, then they all flash little clips or citations below the ad. They would say, you know, my opponent beat a dog to death. And then underneath it, it will say Standard Herald, March 25th, 1948. Turns out he beat him in a card game or something.
Okay.
So, I mean, they all do that. But would you support censorship on political candidates?
Well, but is there some way on Facebook that you can say you don't want to see them? That
no.
You can say you don't want to see this kind of ad?
Well, you can't. You can tell it you would like to see less of this type of ad going forward, or you find it offensive. But I don't think that would stop them from showing them to you.
Mm-hmm.
I think they would just show you somebody else's ads. For example, if I don't like Donald Trump, I could say that I find Donald Trump ads offensive. But that doesn't mean I wouldn't get
a steady diet. You like and share his ads.
Doesn't mean I wouldn't get a steady diet of Bernie Sanders ads thereafter.
Instead.
Right.
Incidentally, Larry Flynt is very much alive and is...
Not running for president.
No, not at the moment. No, he would be... of some age these days. He would be 90 or so.
I don't know. He was shot. He was paralyzed.
80-something.
Paralyzed from a gunshot.
Right. Uses a wheelchair for mobility now.
Yep.
But in any event, okay. So Facebook ads, political ads. Well, this opens the door for Russia to place all the ads they want on behalf of the president or against the president, whatever they want
but
to do.
They always could do that. The question is whether or not they distort. You know, who's going to determine whether or not an ad you're running is distorted? Suppose you had to do that here. You know, I run a political ad, and I said, my opponent, this is a famous case that actually is true, a Southern sheriff won re-election by claiming that his opponent was a thespian. So suppose I put on the air, my opponent is a thespian.
Yeah, the man who wants to be Shamokin Dam mayor instead of me
is a thespian.
Well, most people would say, wow, good for him. I'll vote for him. He sounds artsy and more sensitive than Joe's.
But still, I mean, you know, would you censor that ad? I mean, I'm not saying anything bad. I'm just saying that he's an actor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but on the other hand, if I put on my ad that my opponent has a history of molesting little children, that's a different story. Now, you're attacking the guy, but if you put your name on the ad, there's not much we can do to stop it. But if you don't put your name on the ad, this is where it really gets confusing, because third-party ads, the radio stations and TV stations, do bear a responsibility for the content of those ads.
Oh, I see. Okay. Under those circumstances.
Right. But the FCC has held that no radio station or television station can be sued for upholding free speech on the part of political candidates, as long as it's a use by the candidate.
Boy, this is complicated.
It
you
is.
Have to have somebody here in charge of political ads.
But we did for years. Third-party ads, though, are where the trick will be. I mean, we used to have a local resident who would come in every election cycle. He was a very staunch Republican and conservative, and he would buy ads supporting whatever candidates he happened to support. And sometimes his wording would cross the line, and we'd have to tell him we can't run that spot because we are responsible for the content of that.
Okay. Under those circumstances.
Right.
Well, even if you do give the individual named an opportunity to respond, you just still
can't. Well, that's under the old personal attack provisions of the fairness doctrine, which were eliminated. The FCC eliminated a few years back, quite a few years back now, as a matter of fact.
Gotcha.
But I thought the fairness doctrine was a good thing. In other words, it said if I attack you, or if someone attacks you on the air, if someone on one of our listeners called in here and said something nasty about Representative Keller, Congressman Keller, and it was a personal attack, we would have the obligation under the old rules to notify Congressman Keller that he had been attacked on the air, play him the recording of the attack, and offer him an amount of time to respond to it.
For free, or you have to pay for it?
For free. No, for free. In other words, we didn't charge the person who made the attack. We couldn't charge the person who responds to it. So it's complicated, but, I mean, it's tied up with free speech, but it's also tied up with an attempt to be fair to people. But I don't think you're being fair by editing political speech. If my opponent runs an ad that's disgusting and wrong, I think that says a lot about him. And when I go into the polls to vote, I would think, what kind of advertising did this guy run? He didn't run very uplifting or decent advertising. I mean, the kind of people I vote for are the ones who tend to talk about what good they can do, not what bad their opponent would do.
So you're immune to attack ads, the impact of attack
ads. I don't
ads.
Like them, but unfortunately, they work.
Right. I think their human nature is to pay attention to them. Well, we are talking about political ads and Facebook and politics in general and name-calling. And calling
Hamill.
People thespians. The fact that Mark Hamill's getting off of Facebook because he is sick of the political ads. So we can elaborate a little bit farther on this. We would invite your call on this or any other topic. It's an open day. We had U.S. Congressman Fred Keller here yesterday. Maybe there's something he said that you would like to elaborate on or respond. Feel free to call us now. We have open phones, 1-800-795-9565. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. You can check them out at sunburymotors.com. Email us anytime you wish to at this show at onthemark@wkok.com. You can text us at 70236. You also, in the news, you found a CNN story that's particularly slanted, so we can talk about that today.
I think it's very slanted.
I think it's objective right down the middle.
Oh, so, you brother.
So we'll talk about where the slant is. Joe's so conservative, he can't even see objectivity now. We also have Bernie Sanders and, as
Elizabeth Warren
would derogatorily say Pocahontas.
Oh, I would never call her Pocahontas.
On the air. And so they're at odds over something, Bernie may or may not have said
right
a year ago.
That a woman can't win the White House.
Right, which is, I'm hoping, untrue. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. That's 1-800-795-9565. You are welcome to email us at onthemark@wkok.com.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. 1-800-795-9565 it has an open line. 1-800-795-9565. You can also email us at onthemark@wkok.com, or you can text us at 70236. That's the text connect system. We would love to hear from you. We've been talking about Mark Hamill, the actor, is declining to participate in anything on Facebook anymore because he's, just sick of the political ads, I guess?
The fact that they won't know. He's sick of the fact
that
they won't police
won't
them.
Police them.
Right,
okay.
They won't police them.
All right, noted. 1-800-795-9565. Dan, thanks for calling in. You're on the mark.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Why, positive political ads is the reason a lot of people voted for President Trump. He laid out his agenda, exactly what he wanted to accomplish. And he's probably accomplished over half of it, maybe more. And that's the reason that Trump got the vote. He laid it out, border wall. He laid stronger military. He laid out a positive business agenda. And, and he laid out all the judges. He gave us a whole list of judges he was going to appoint to the Supreme Court. And we realized here's a positive agenda that meets a more conservative person. And he had and he also loved America first. He put America first, and many of us wanted that again. We didn't believe in the globalism that was being put on us by other presidents. So that's how President Trump won, on a positive agenda, laying it out, letting us know what he was going to do.
Okay, if you say so.
Well, but what about all his name calling? I wouldn't be able to say that I have I recall any President Trump ads, but I mean this long list of, I mean, who did he call Dumbo?
I don't remember. Somebody.
I forget. But anyway.
You know, the bad part that you don't remember, Mark, they call him every name in the book. They still are doing it.
Not the other candidates.
I'm going to forgive him. I'm going to forgive him for name calling. They do it to him. They call him worse names than he calls them. It's done right here on this radio program. So he nails them back. I can't not like that.
Yeah, very slow, sleepy Joe is his reference for Joe Biden. Little Michael Bloomberg, mini Mike Bloomberg. Let's see.
And I don't recall them calling him anything in particular.
Governor Jerry Moonbeam Brown. Bush original, that's not really bad, but low energy Jeb for the other Bush. Alfred E. Newman is what he calls Pete Buttigieg. I hadn't heard that. Oh, sleeping Bob Casey, you know who that is.
Trump played the political game with them, and he beat them at their own game of putting each other down, and them beat 16 other people off their Republican platform. He did the game, and he did it better. And that's how he done it. And that, but yet, beside that fact, he has a positive agenda, America First. I call him a populist dove conservative. He's a dove. He's not a war hawk. We were given the agenda we should vote for war hawks in the Republican Party, which I never agreed with. We put war hawks in that got us into all these wars we talk about that we're still in. And Trump's agenda to get us out of war. And that's another reason he got the vote of the American people. He promised to get us out of war, and he's doing his best to do it, and he has he believes in the strong military like President Reagan.
Yeah, some of his critics say he's been presidential lately during this Iran instance.
And what does that mean, to be presidential?
Well, when you call...
He's the president... So he's presidential.
Do I have to get the nicknames out again if you wonder what unpresidential looks like? Lion Hillary would tell you what unpresidential looks like.
See, but every time I do that, people say to me, oh, you're bringing up what's up? What does he have to do with this? What do other presidents have to do with this? We're talking about President Trump. You're just doing the same thing. You're going back and saying that he is different. Therefore, he's not acting like other presidents. Therefore, he is not presidential. But Dan's right. He is the president, so whatever he does is presidential.
Gotcha. All right. Well, he's lowered the bar down to zero. That much is clear. All right. Thank you so much,
Dan. It wasn't Trump that lowered the bar. We had plenty of other presidents that put it plenty low, and I won't mention their names.
All right, we got to go to another caller.
Great talking with you. Right. Have a good day.
Take care, Dan.
You too, Dan. Thank you so much for calling in. Yep. I appreciate it. Lance, you're on the mark. Thanks for waiting. Go right ahead.
Okay, well, you said this was open. I could talk about anything, right?
Anything Absolutely. That's on topic.
Now we're talking about Facebook ads. So what do you know about Facebook ads? That was a joke. Okay, I was just kidding. You can talk about whatever you want to. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, we're always talking about the economy's inequality divide when it comes to, the big earners versus the little guys, and they're getting all the wage increases, and can't tell you how many times ad nauseum I've heard people call in and talk about it. But when you finally get down at the figures, it's quite astounding. I mean, it's ignored by the press almost. Well, take for instance, wages for the bottom 10% of earners over age 25 rose an average of 5.9% annually adjusted during the first 11 quarters of the current administration.
Well, let me stipulate that what you're saying is true, and that the economy is a booming, okay, by every measure, right? Is that your bottom line?
No, not really. But that compared to, because they always say the Obama administration that we were cruising along to, right? He set everything up. It rose an average of 2.4% in Obama's second term.
Okay, so what is the bottom line? Let's jump to conclusions. And in conclusion,
well, everything that everybody says that the little guys aren't getting anything out of this is total bunk.
I gotcha.
That's what I'm trying to say.
I think the latest wage report showed that the lowest half of wage earners were where the biggest growth was.
Right, they're growing faster than the top part.
I don't know if it was as widely reported if they've been left out.
Still, income inequality in this country is an issue. I mean, there's no denying that it's an issue. Oh, it's an issue. I'm sorry. I don't stick my head in the sand and say it's not.
You most certainly do.
No, I don't.
Stick your head in the sand. The president. Never mind. Moving on. Go ahead, Lance. We'll let you conclude.
Well, even if you take, like, the kids that have less than a high school degree, they are the ones that have really, really benefited with this administration versus the others. Like, you're talking barely not even 2%. Without a high school degree, and it's almost, it's like 6-point-some-odd percent that those wages have grown in the first 11 quarters of the current administration. So it's really quite a spread when you get right down to
it. So this high tide is almost literally raising all ships.
Absolutely, in this
right.
case.
We gotcha. All right, noted. Well, and you won't hear extensive coverage of it, which I think was part of your initial remark. But
it's largely ignored by the press, period.
Well, they're pretty biased against the president. So, like I said the other week, the labor participation rate, which is literally bouncing along the bottom, it's been 6.2 or 6.3 for about 8 months now, went down to 6.2. So, in Lawrence's interpretation, I said, and don't forget that the labor participation rate is plummeting once again. So that's all I could extract from those numbers.
Well, you need a better extraction point.
Thank you. Thank you, Lance. Thanks for checking in. Thanks for calling
in. Take care, Lance.
Very much appreciated. All right.
You know, I think that the point that Lance is making isn't a terrible one, that people are doing better. But I think what people look at is the fact that, let's say I have $1,000, so a 2% increase in everything that relates to my money is one thing for me. But if I have $1 million put aside, that 2% becomes a lot bigger. You know, so that income inequality, I think people are concerned about.
Well,
that's
a real dilemma. I mean, you know people who are struggling.
People working three jobs. I know there are many people working two jobs to get ahead, you know, but in this economy, let's face it, people are paying more for labor now because they need or they're not getting qualified candidates at the lower rates.
Well, but I think there's a lack of family-sustaining jobs out there. I know there's. I know, like, I could leave here tomorrow, and I could probably command $15 an hour someplace.
You have family-sustaining ability. Where I have a problem,
I have a terrible work ethic. If that's what you're thinking of,
where I have
trouble
problem.
Getting up in the morning and working a full week. Thank you for asking. Let's let Dale finish up this conversation. Dale, thank you for waiting a short time. You're on the mark.
Yeah, I just believe we're living in a borrowed economy. I mean, GDP is the biggest indicator. Then look at the Fed. They're scared to raise rates. So, I mean, basically, if we get down to the basics, that's what it is, GDP. And basically, we're hiring more government officials, so we're all agreeing to borrow more money. And it ain't no other way to put it, basically.
All right. Noted. Thank you so much. Appreciate that, Dale.
Dale's comment was brief enough.
That was
point.
An exclamation point and a half. Thank you.
But seriously, when you look at jobs, what you bring to the table should determine what you make. if you have a skill set that's in demand, you know, somebody is going to pay you a fair amount of money for that skill set. But if they have to retrain you, if they have to provide you training generally, you know, you're not as valuable as you would be if you go to the marketplace with a set of skills that's in demand. That's right. My problem. If people
you don't have
those
any skills.
Well, yeah, right. That's been evident for years. But if I go into the marketplace and I bring a set of skills and I don't get paid a fair amount for it, you know, then I've got a problem. But I don't expect anybody to give me more money for less ability. I would expect that I would get more money for more ability. If I worked hard and improved myself and improved what I know and what I can do, then I would expect to be compensated fairly for that. But I don't expect somebody to give me a family-sustaining wage just because I show up and say, hey, I'd like a family-sustaining wage. Mm-hmm. I have no talent, no ability, you know, but I would like a family-sustaining wage.
Hmm. Well, do you not think that showing up on time and dressing appropriately and behaving appropriately and putting in 40-plus hours and working overtime and complying with
doing
the company
what?
Rules, well, maybe if you're working at a factory or something, doing all of those things, does that not call for a wage that's appropriate?
How well are you doing your job? You're talking about all
excellently.
The peripheral. Well, then, yes, it does deserve more money. But, you know, basically, there are a lot of people who show up. They're there. They just phone it in. You know, they don't have any particular skill set. And so they're working at a job that is probably less than what they're capable of, but reflects the amount of training they've had.
All right. Well, to be continued. We're going to continue this conversation. We're going to teach Joe economics, working class 101, when we come back. And we would invite your assistance. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WDKOK Sunbury. This is WDKOK's On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. This is WDKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings. Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, I'm Mark Lawrence. Joe McGranahan is directly across from me, and he is a Republican stalwart who does not have his head buried in the sand. It's buried in something else. On the Mark is sponsored by the
I think I know what you're talking about.
It means. That's how the beans got in your ear. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. You can check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us now, 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. Some brief news headlines. Sunbury City Council and the mayor took a giant step forward Monday night when they got a look at a new police station plan and decided to proceed. The idea would extensively renovate the existing warehouse owned by the city at Chestnut and All Streets. We talked on the newsline briefly this morning with Mayor Kurt Karlovich.
So this is extremely important because for 2 years now, the police department building search committee, they have looked into different options such as renting, leasing to own, building from brand new from no existing building, or rehabbing an existing structure. And the best option right now for the city moving forward is rehabbing a current structure. And the structure that we are choosing is a currently city-owned building on Chestnut Street, catty-corner from the Albright Center. It's currently just being used as a warehouse. It's not on the tax parcel, so we won't lose the tax credits for that. We are going to be showing the big-time investors that the city does have large properties that are available, and they are worthwhile to actually invest back into. We're trying to change the structure of how the city used to do with the building, with creating new.
The city's been researching different sites and options for 2 years, and a lot of planning, as well as professional outside resources, were utilized. The existing police station is deteriorating and will be unsuitable for long-term future use without extensive renovation. Pennsylvania's second lady, Gisele Fetterman, will lead a campaign to raise awareness of this year's Census Bureau count and encourage residents to respond to the census. State officials said Monday that Fetterman will tour the state, making stops in Philadelphia and the counties counties of Center, Erie, Allegheny, Lancaster, and Luzerne over the next 3 months. Her husband is Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman. Meantime, 94 nonprofit community organizations are working together to encourage their targeted communities to return census forms. The Wolf administration says the state receives $26 billion annually for federally funded programs based on the census. That's a $2,000 payment per Pennsylvanian per year. He says billions of dollars are at stake. President Donald Trump is drawing criticism for circulating a fake photo of two Democratic leaders wearing traditional Muslim attire in front of the Iranian flag. Muslim American advocates say the amplification of that imagery amounts to promoting Islamophobic tropes. Trump retweeted the manipulated photo after Democrats criticized the administration's rationale for orchestrating the killing of a top Iranian general. White House Press Secretary Stephanie Grisham tells Fox News the tweet was intended to show Democrats are almost taking the side of terrorists and those who were out to kill the Americans. No Democrats have praised the slain Iranian general, but the president retweeted that. What did you think about that?
I saw it. I think it was probably inappropriate, but I knew it was a joke.
Right. This is our presidential. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Remember, the bar is ultra low now, so I guess he's presidential. And finally, this is one thing good about the president. No one is talking about the U.S. budget deficit for the first 3 months of the budget year is up 11% from the same period a year ago, putting the country on track to record its first ever $1 trillion deficit in 8 years. The U.S. Treasury Department said Monday that the deficit from October through December totaled $356 billion. Both government spending and revenue set records for the first 3 months of the budget year, but spending rose at a faster clip than tax collections, pushing the deficit total up. The Congressional Budget Office is projecting that the deficit will hit $1 trillion this year. So, well, that's exciting. See, there's something good about the president you never hear about, that at least he spends, as all previous presidents have before him, way, 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 way beyond his means.
Doesn't that make him presidential?
Yes, oh, very much so. So that makes him as bad as any president we've ever had. Yeah, can you imagine slightly overshooting your budget at home? Honey, I'm not going to be able to pay the cable because I think I've overspent $1 trillion this year. Not a billion.
Well, you know what the government always can do is print more money.
Well, I guess.
Then we have inflation.
Yeah. So there's something good about the president.
Well, actually, it's something bad about all politicians. You know, they're so intent on giving you stuff so you vote for them that nobody wants to make a hard decision to actually do the tough stuff and pay down the debt.
Right. But a lot of people, I mean, the president says everything he does is superlative and he's, you know, speaks down.
Oh, he is. He runs up the budget beautifully. I mean, it's actually.
Well, but see, that's not unusual. That's normal.
Oh, okay.
So he is not superlative in that way. He's perfectly normal. And I think I know it's going to hit $1 trillion this year, but I think probably weighted for inflation, that's probably about the same as everybody who preceded him.
I doubt it. I mean, that stopgap spending bill that they passed was really just a boondoggle to give everybody something. Mm-hmm. He got money for the wall. The Democrats got money for something. Everybody got money for something.
Right. Well, plus taxes went down. Then we lowered taxes.
We did that earlier.
Right. So it's unusual. I mean, typically at home, if you don't have enough money to make ends meet, find new ways to lower revenue and increase expenses.
Where's the tipping point? At some point, we're going to borrow so much money that the debt service on that borrowing can't be met with the national budget.
We'll have to borrow money to pay the debt.
We have to borrow money to fund the budget after the money we borrowed. So
I don't know that we'll ever hit that point. It seems to me that we'll just keep borrowing, and if we have to borrow money to pay debt service, we'll do that too. I mean, Americans obviously have no interest in keeping the budget under control. There's been no president who had the budget under control.
Well, they might if they understood the implications of letting it remain out of control. But the problem is that if I keep borrowing and somebody keeps lending me money, there's no obvious bad situation until the day comes when either somebody won't lend me any more money, mm-hmm, or people demand getting their repayment now.
But I think the rationale is that when the economy does better, more tax revenue comes in, and then your budget will be balanced.
But that's not happening.
Oh, the budget, or the, that's true, the economy is booming.
The economy is booming.
The deficit is bigger than ever.
President Trump said that there are millions and trillions of dollars flowing into the budget as a result of his trade war with China. You know, but yet we're not reducing the national debt, are we?
No, it's booming. But, okay. Well, but my, I guess all the way back around, my whole point is that President always talks about how fantastic he is, and I think he probably is fantastic in some ways, and he's horrendously terrible in others. But the bottom line is he's perfectly normal when it comes to the deficit. He is no better, no worse than any other president who preceded him.
Well, he may be
George Washington.
He may be a bit worse in that he's a conservative who espouses balancing the budget.
Well, but so did all the Bushes and President Reagan and... Sit down already.
All right.
Anyway, all the Republicans who, I mean, the deficit has been a huge issue for decades. I think Bill Clinton for a couple of years had a balanced budget. Now, that did not reduce the deficit. It just meant that we weren't borrowing additionally.
No, but he at least made some effort to solve the problem.
Right. Well, he had a booming economy and he cut expenses. So there you have
it. So we have the booming economy now, and the president says there are billions of dollars flowing into the Treasury. Why isn't the budget balanced?
Because
why is it we're going to have $1 trillion more spent this year than last year?
Because we lowered taxes. And increased expenses. Do I have to go? Let's go. I'll go back to the beginning.
No, Joe, I know the beginning of the story, but it doesn't make any sense.
Well, it does if you're a politician. Most people don't care about the deficit. You can bring super smart bankers and leaders and politicians and political science professors that will tell you that the deficit's not important.
Well, you know, the state says that municipalities have to balance their budget every year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but yet the federal government doesn't have to do that.
Well, Ed Rendell seemed to have a workaround. He borrowed a lot of money for future. I guess if you call it a bond issue or, you know, some sort of a big program, or you get voters to approve it. You know, we always have growing greener, which is nothing more than elaborate bond issue to fund DEP's normal operation.
Well, there's nothing wrong with bond issues. I mean, if they fund important municipal projects or state projects,
or keep
that's
DEP
how we got
going.
That's how we got our bridges around here. That's how we got the Veterans Memorial Bridge and the Priestley Bridge and the Edison Bridge.
Thanks to
through Governor Thornburg's bond issue that he put
borrowing.
Out. Yeah. Well, it needed to be done, and that was the only way to do it at the time.
1-800-795-9565. At this very moment, we are talking about the U.S. budget deficit. Earlier today, we were talking about Facebook ads and political ads and the president's name calling, but we have found finally something that makes President Trump perfectly normal, of which he is not terrible and morally bankrupt in this area, nor is he superlative by any stretch of the imagination. He's perfectly normal when it comes to running a budget that is way, way, way out of whack. So there's a compliment. So that, I think that's good. Good for him. At least
I believe that's damning by faint praise.
Well, yeah, because all politicians don't seem to understand how to balance a budget. But it's funny how people who are pretty darn smart with money, you know, a few of them are strong President Trump supporters. You think that would be like a litmus test that you have to balance a budget. But I guess if the president's doing some other things they agree with, then that's...
Well, I'm sure that has to be hard for somebody like Fred Keller, who is always fiscally very responsible.
Oh,
to go down
sure.
to Washington and see how they throw money around must be terribly hard for him to look at.
Well, it's got to irritate, you know, like our good co-host John Shipman. I mean, he was city treasurer
right.
for as an elected member of council, not the elected treasurer, but for a long time. And, of course, balanced budgets are required and tight budgets, and you make cuts. Well, guess what? The federal government's not much of a cutter. Although
no,
there have
not.
Been times when budgets were tight in Washington and people couldn't get everything they wanted. Well, we will take more comers on this topic. Let's see. Do we have anything that relates to the budget in
well,
the text?
Well, slightly here. This one relates to the Sunbury budget. One of our writers says, the Sunbury police station is in a good location right now. To spend over $1 million for a new one is crazy. Why not put them in the courthouse? Well, the courthouse is a county building, not a city building,
well,
so that might be
packed.
One reason.
Well, plus every inch of
it's
the courthouse
packed.
Is in use.
Right. One of our other texters says, Facebook news today looks like Trump got Russia to hack Ukraine companies Burisma to get dirt on Biden. Just made the impeachment hearings more interesting. Hadn't heard that story, had you? And another one says, good morning to the hater who said I should get a new job because I didn't get a raise in 2 years. That includes employees at WKOK also. Thanks, Bob. Who said that?
Wait, good morning to the hater who said I should get a new job because I didn't get a raise in 2 years. Oh, okay. Well, that,
somebody say that?
I think I did say facetiously that if you didn't get a pay raise, but looking at the statistics.
Oh, so you're the hater.
I don't hate anybody. Let's
well,
get that
it says
out of
here
the way.
You're a hater.
Okay. No, but I said if you didn't get a raise, you should get a new job. It's just a facetious remark. Obviously, I don't hate anybody that didn't get a new job or a pay raise.
Okay. Finally, one of our texters says, good morning. Trump is taking $7.2 billion from the Pentagon to funding for his wall. Americans should be upset over this, that the money should go back into the national debt to bring it down.
Why don't we just balance the whole budget? Is that all of them?
That's it.
Okay. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. You have just heard remarks about all of the topics that we talked about. Sunbury City Hall, Sunbury Police Department, going to be at a new location if City Council is able to proceed with coming up with $1 million for a really, really extensive renovation of a building. They did look at the idea of demolishing the existing downtown building where they're at and maybe even a neighboring building to build up a new structure there for the police department, because that downtown location is ideal. There's no argument about that. But that's a $2 million project. But maybe that would be ideal. Keep the cops in the downtown, say some folks. So.
Well, they're still in the downtown on Chestnut Street. It's only a block away.
Right. It is a block away, but there's a difference between Chestnut Street and Market Street. Chestnut Street's not a... it's not Market Street. So,
very astute observation. May I say how proud I am of you for that?
One of the city...
Chestnut Street isn't Market Street. Can I have that laminated from my wallet?
All right. And anybody who agrees that Joe deserves a spanking, verbal spanking, let me know. All right, 1-800-795-9565. Call us now. We're talking about Sunbury City Hall. Facebook adds, the president being perfectly normal when it comes to the deficit. He deserves no criticism for this.
And we may get into CNN's slanted story.
Oh, that's right. You found one story on CNN that has a slant. This one is particularly slanted, though, correct?
It is.
All right. We'll talk about that when we come back. Call us immediately. 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. 1-800-795-9565.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. We have open phones right now, 1-800-795-9565. Before your jaw hits the ground, we want you to know that Joe found an article written by CNN that he says has a bias.
Yeah, just listen to this. The imminent final act of America's impeachment ordeal will be played out for far higher political stakes than might be expected, given the all but guaranteed acquittal. There's an editorial comment. President Donald Trump and his trial in the Republican-led Senate.
That's the first one you detected?
The long wait for the trial to begin, nearly 4 weeks, pulsating with political gamesmanship after the House voted to consign Trump to historic ignominy. Finally looks to be over. Historic ignominy. Not really. House Speaker was Bill Clinton restored to historic ignominy? I would hardly call what's happened to him since he left office ignominious. And there's no question that Donald Trump may well redeem himself. Even Nixon partially redeemed himself.
Donald Trump redeemed himself from the impeachment. That shouldn't be a very far bar for him.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, a California Democrat, will meet with her troops today and is expected to finally relent in her refusal to send the articles of impeachment to the other chamber, a delay triggered by a bid to dictate the terms of the trial. Now, that's fair. That's what they did. Finally, the Senate will get the chance to assess whether Trump, the third president ever impeached by the House, is guilty of the standard of high crimes and misdemeanors for trying to conceal trying to coerce Ukraine to dig up dirt on his possible 2020 election for Joe Biden.
Well, that was
coerce. He didn't try to coerce them.
Oh,
he asked for a favor.
Did.
No, he didn't. They're taking the Democrats' words. Oh, it was a coercion. It was a quid pro quo. You know, they're not saying alleged.
This is a bona fide news piece?
Yes, it was on their website.
It wasn't
this
an editorial, but it's not an editorial.
No, it's a story. It was their lead story on their website
this morning.
Right.
The ignominious president is in hot water.
Then he says, the way that the public comes to view the climax of the scandal. What scandal? The president isn't involved in a scandal. He is involved in trying to get a country to come up with some investigation about possible corruption, which is his responsibility. What word are you looking up?
He didn't hear it.
Ignominious.
Okay.
Deserving or causing of public disgrace or shame.
Right. So, do you think that he's been done? That's been done to him. Has it been done to Bill Clinton?
He did it himself, but yes, it has happened.
And really, it wasn't done to Andrew Johnson either. He went on and had a career after being the president.
Yeah,
after being
impeached. Have to tell us about the end of the book at some point.
I will. I'm almost done with it. Democrats hope, the way that the public comes to view the climax of the scandal will shape the rest of the president's term, his hopes for a second one, and the destiny of the Senate come November's election. So, I mean, their implication is that if the Senate votes to not to acquit him, that they've done something wrong. But they don't take into consideration that many people believe what the House did was wrong. They refer to this whole story is written like the House was perfectly justified in impeaching this man.
It's a legitimate
and now the Democrats are going to let him go, or the Republicans are going to let him go. And I don't think those are facts and evidence. That's the kind of thing that a trial would determine.
Well, it's obviously an editorial.
It was a news story at the top of their news.
All right.
It was not marked in any way editorial comment.
Mike, thanks for calling in.
Hey, you're welcome. As far as impeachment goes, in the first 100 days since the House Democrats began their effort to impeach Trump, back in September sometime, they looked at the news coverage on ABC, CBS, and NBC, and three-quarters of the nightly news, which people used to watch all the time at 6:30, was about impeachment. And overall, the coverage of Trump was 93% negative. So I guess the mainstream media is in the pocket of the Democrats. That's my opinion on that. And then the other thing I wanted to say was I watched the football game last night, and I hope you guys both were able to watch the beginning. I just tuned in, so I don't know. But when President Trump took the field, there was a tremendous, tremendous welcoming of him. And you know what they used to say about Louisiana when it comes to their life down there? They used to say it's all about the four Fs: family, food, fun, and football. And now I think they needed to add a T to that, because last night there for a few minutes it was all about Donald Trump, our president, and I really appreciated that. And the last thing I wanted to say about impeachment, I think that it's kind of helping the Democrats out, because all that news on the nightly news about impeachment and it all being negative is kind of taking the focus off the campaign on the Democrat trail. Because America is not really getting to hear and see as much of what they really need to see to find out about these people, the Democrats, are running for president. So in that aspect, I think impeachment is a positive for Donald Trump.
Well, interesting point.
Well, that could be true. The candidates are having a debate tonight, so probably at 7 or 8 o'clock you'll be able to watch them on TV.
I saw the debate lineup. They had all their pictures on TV, and I called it the wall of whiteness, because I didn't see any minorities in this debate tonight. Now, am I correct about that?
Yeah, Corey wasn't invited in the first place, but he dropped out of the race altogether. So now all the candidates are
Who's number six? Is it Kamala Harris? No, she's not. Is she on the stage?
Kamala Harris?
Yeah, I always want to say Kamala Harris. Is she on the debate tonight?
No, I don't know. Elizabeth Warren, and then who's the other woman? Amy Klobuchar. Yeah, there were two white women.
Klobuchar, okay.
The Democrats have on that stage tonight, and four white men. No minorities. I mean, you know, just think if that was the Republicans, they'd be screaming up and down in the news about what racist we all are and how we hate brown people and stuff, and we don't have anybody running for president. But by golly, tonight we're going to have a bunch of white Democrats running for president, and we're not going to hear a squeak out of them about how racist they are.
And none of them will say, I'm dropping out of the race so that a person of color can have more chance to succeed either, will they?
You mean they're not? They don't have an affirmative action campaign for president?
Apparently not. Yes, I believe that's true.
I'm being a little bit facetious here and maybe a little bit over the top, but I am surprised. I am surprised that we're not hearing much about the lack of diversity in the campaign for president on the Democrat side, because we all know that that's really what they like to pound us Republicans on.
Well, it says something maybe about the Democratic money lenders or people who finance Democratic candidates.
So I was just going to say, it doesn't really say anything about the Democratic Party other than who's willing to fund a candidate. Tonight it's Joe Biden, Pete Buttigieg, Amy Klobuchar, and Bernie Sanders, Tom Steyer, and Elizabeth Warren.
I think it says something about the values here.
9 to 11 p.m.
There are some excellent minority candidates out there, and you would think that the Democrat Party would have seen fit to have them included.
Do you mean to have more minorities included,
or just to expand the candidate field?
Let's face it, the minority whites, if they're not already, they're almost a minority if they're not already in this country. So you would think that the campaign that stands for inclusiveness would have some minority candidates
tonight. Somebody else is holding the debate. I mean, these are the people who are invited, whomever's holding it, and I don't know who it is.
The Des Moines Register, I think.
Right, okay, and, so yeah. They set it up. The people who are invited are just simply in compliance with the fundraising and polling numbers or however they set it up. And that's why you don't see Michael Bloomberg there, because I'm sure he has some donors, but he doesn't have many. But he's a glonkzillionaire, and he's paying for his own campaign.
Well, so is Tom Steyer. So
he's probably not in. Well, then he must have the polling numbers. Well, Tom Steyer would have followers by now,
yeah.
Even though he doesn't necessarily need them in the same way that the
rest do. Well, he needs
the
them to get on
do.
The debate stage.
But, yeah, your point's well taken, Mike. It is a lack of diversity, and it certainly is a through line through most of the important Democratic messages. So they'll probably have to address that tonight, the fact that they don't have. Cory Booker was their last hope, but he wasn't invited tonight anyway.
Yeah. You and I are going a little head-to-head on climate change and global warming and stuff. And I just wanted to mention, I put it up on you guys' Facebook page, that the government has taken down the signs that were up in Glacier National Park that said all the glaciers are going to be gone by 2020.
Yeah, somebody
so, you know,
called
get a good
last
look
week.
At them while you can.
Somebody called about that last week. Joe, did you find that out? Somebody else called.
Somebody called it to our attention. We discussed it, yes.
Yeah, the global warming is behind schedule.
And they're going to, what they're saying now, they're going to put up new signs. They said they didn't have any money to take the signs down. I mean, come on, are you kidding me? Take the signs down, and people would love to take them down for them, and I'd like to have one in my house right now as a collector's item. But the other thing is they're going to replace them with signs that says, we don't know when the glaciers are going to be gone, but they are going to be gone if we don't do something. I mean, if they didn't have any money to take those other signs down, they certainly shouldn't have any money to put these new signs up.
And there's no truth to the rumor that there are a bunch of park rangers with blowtorches out there trying to get rid of the glaciers before.
To expedite things.
Right.
Well, they give off a lot of carbon dioxide. They wouldn't want to do that.
I said I wanted to touch on football. Did you guys actually watch the beginning of the football game last night when Donald Trump came out?
No, but I saw coverage of it this morning on the news.
So
I
got
a
huge welcome,
fan,
right?
The two big games of the year now are the college football championship and the Army-Navy game. Okay, I mean, they're the ones that any real football fan has to sit down and watch. And I'm telling you what, I was not impressed with the welcome that the president got at the Army-Navy game, and I was a little surprised at the lack of enthusiasm. And I may be wrong, maybe I'm off base here, but I don't believe I am. It was not what I expected anyway. But last night, that was just fantastic, and it was really, I was proud to see him welcomed in the state of Louisiana like he was.
Well, maybe because of the tensions in the Middle East, people are more in favor of his presidential-type actions. You know, people have, he's gotten some pretty good praise from people on both sides of the aisle for the way that he's either showed restraint or taken the actions that he did take.
Yep.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I mean, but the future leaders of our military are in those academies, and I guess restraint is okay. I just thought that out of respect, he would have received a better welcome, and I'm hoping somebody proves me wrong and say I'm off base here.
Well, I think he got the welcome from the cadets and the midshipmen. I think it was the crowd that wasn't as supportive.
Yeah,
well,
but Army, you know, Navy,
I'm
who
agree
goes to
somewhat
that?
With you on that, but I watched very closely at the video of the midshipmen and the cadets, and it seemed kind of restrained to me.
Were there boos at the Army Navy game, or just not a ruckus?
There were some boos, but they were from the crowd, not from the.
Well, I'm sure the cadets didn't boo. The commander in chief is awful.
What I'm going to say about the cadets and the midshipmen was a lack of participation.
Okay.
On some parts.
All right.
Maybe. I won't say I did not see, and obviously I didn't hear any boos.
Maybe they were told to curb their enthusiasm.
Lukewarm. I'm going to say lukewarm.
Okay. All right. Well, he got what he got last night, so he got a rousing welcome last night by all measures.
Thanks for your call,
Mike.
Take care.
Appreciate that. Yeah, this is one of the reasons, I tell you, you know, I certainly would support any one of the Democrats personally over President Trump, but this is why I think he's going to win. You know, when it counts, people like what he's doing, whether it's showing restraint or taking action in the Middle East or going out and about, like to a football game. I mean, that has universal appeal in the U.S. Staunch Republicans and Democrats love football.
Well, they got upset that he hasn't had a press conference in 60 days or whatever
who
it is.
Who's
we
upset?
We had a call yesterday when Congressman
Keller
was here.
Most people couldn't care less.
But he always meets the press. He always answers their questions.
Right, that's the new normal.
Not a format that you might like, but he does it.
But they know that he's going to do it, so they're ready. They have their questions ready. It's the same as a press briefing, only it's done on the outside, wherever he's at.
Well, and that's his right. He can do it any way he wants to.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me. I mean, as a journalist and as a Democrat, it certainly seems to me that I just would not want him to just cut off all access, so that if you had a really urgent question, there's no way at all for you to get an answer. That wouldn't be right.
I'm sure you can submit questions you have to the press office, and they will get you
the
an
normal,
answer.
Well, yeah, you still have that option, sure. All right, we are talking about the president. He got a raucous welcome last night, and he got some praise for the way that he's handled the Middle East tensions, both the restraint plus the action. And we'll take your opinion on this. Call us now. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. That's 1-800-795-9565. Our good caller Mike pointed out at the LSU National Championship game last night that the crowd was unanimously welcoming of the president at the game. So he was the fan, what would you call him? The fan in chief. Fan in chief. Okay, last night. All right, call us now, 1-800-795-9565. Welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the mark. 1-800-795-9565 is the hotline. Call us immediately. 1-800-795-9565. It's Joe McGranahan and I. We are kind of on the same side of an issue right now. We're just observing that the president, thanks to Mike's report, got a super welcome last night at the LSU game and had received a milquetoast welcome at the Army-Navy game, which is somewhat unusual, I think. But
I didn't think it was that bad.
Okay. But in the meantime, we have some texts and emails and a caller. So.
One of our emailers says, the further south Trump goes, the more popular he is. And then another one says, we're going back to the Sunbury situation. $1 million for a small under 10 policeman building? May I see a line-by-line breakdown? Unbelievable. And let's see. The texter says, we have a person of color running to be reelected in the White House, the orange clown Trump. Come on. No comment from you on that one.
I don't like calling anybody a clown. I know he's.
Well, you call him a buffoon.
Some of his behavior is buffoon-like. There's
and
no
if you are a buffoon,
there.
Are you not also a clown?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't.
Would you explain to me the difference between a buffoon and a clown?
A buffoon.
Just out of curiosity.
This is a tough one. Read the text.
All right. Just a
That's
thought.
Difficult.
The old county building on Market Street is for sale. Maybe a good place for police station. I think they're talking about the old Pomeroy's or?
Bowman's.
Bowman's, okay.
Pomeroy's. Yeah, welcome to Wilkes-Barre. Have a nice
day. No, that was Harrisburg. I grew up in Harrisburg. Okay. All right. So that's what we have at the moment.
There you go.
And we have a caller. Dan wants one more minute of fame. Dan, you got 60 seconds. Go ahead.
At the LSU game last night.
Yeah, well, there at the beginning of the game, what, Trump got all that applause. And what was beautiful, the chant broke out, USA, USA. That's for a minute there, I thought I was at a Trump rally. They used that same chant. And you know, that shows the Trump voters how popular he's getting. You know, not there's nothing staged. You know, people accuse the Trump rallies as being staged. They're the real thing. You know, them chants break out just because they love the president.
Well, then. But a lot of it is staged. I mean, it's orchestrated, and the president knows what people will respond to. But that's true, and that's all real. I mean, those people aren't scripted. They didn't give a note ahead of time, say, you know, or they don't have an applause light for President Trump at a Trump rally. But these are his ardent supporters, or you know, people that just want to be in the same room with the president, which is certainly a noteworthy endeavor.
Enthusiasm for Trump is growing. I meet people, I just met a person yesterday, their enthusiasm is every bit as much as mine for the next election. And in Trump rallies are growing bigger out there in Toledo at the last Trump rally. It was crowded. Right. And people were waiting to get in, just right. Like at Hershey. It was cold and raining, and the crowds, Trump,
they were there.
Well, you got
home.
People lined up today for the one tonight. Hey, thanks, Dan. We appreciate your extra minute.
Yep, and you guys have a great one then.
Right. He's talking about the president's got a rally scheduled for tonight, too, opposite the Democratic debate. I'm sure that CNN is carrying the debate. I don't know who will carry the president. Probably Fox.
Mm-hmm. Well, or there happens sometimes when nobody had him on while he was at a rally. Fox did look-ins, but they didn't broadcast the whole thing. Hey, On the Mark is brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, and we would invite you to call us on our toll-free line and participate in the show right now. The Sunbury Motor Company, of course, would like you to do something else. While you're listening to the show, even if you can do two things at once, well, so for all the women out there, you can do two things at once. Listen to the show and go to sunburymotors.com and pick out your next Lincoln, Ford, Hyundai, or Kia. You can pick out a brand new one, or you can choose from thousands of pre-owned vehicles that are in literally perfect condition and are ready to go. The Sunbury Motor Company is on North 4th Street in Sunbury, and you can visit their auto plaza there. That's got the body shop, the great big garage, and the little tiny quick lane short store. Or you can go to the alignment shop or the body shop or the parts department. You name it, Sunbury Motor Company certainly is a complex and elaborate operation that can take any unmet need that you have in the automotive world and fill it. They are just super at that. The quick lane in particular, they can pump you up with nitrogen. They can tow your vehicle. Damage-free experience for a decade now, or a century. And they've been making sure that one car gets to another without being in worse shape once it arrives. And so that's all a short list of the many accoutrements of the Sunbury Motor Company. And they would just love to super serve you at the Sunbury Motor Company, sunburymotors.com. We will take another quickie break. We do have an email that the subject is President Trump, so we will chit-chat about that. But the president's being more presidential. He's gotten some accolades and crowds lately, so we're talking about that.
And we have two calls coming in.
Oh, calls are coming in. So 1-800-795-9565, the remaining open lines. One email pending that was sent to onthemark@wdkok.com. Welcome back to WDKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. Buzz. Oops, I hung up on it. I answered and hung up all of this.
You hung up on
No,
so,
I didn't.
There
I'm
we
here.
Go. Okay, I'm sorry. Can you save the day, please, Rob? I just hung up on Paul. Can you call or pick that line back up? He should still be there. Oh, now I lost
Buzz. Buzz is gone.
Buzz?
Buzz probably thought you were not going to talk to him since you were communicating. Well, you've lost two calls for us. Now what do we do, Ollie?
Read the email.
Read the email.
Rob is there. Rob is fixing things slowly here, so that'll be good.
Should we have to endure another long trial? Do you want another mess and drama? Nothing ever becomes of it, ever. Whoever got prosecuted on what President Trump did? Nobody, on any side. Maybe two or three guys that had nothing to do with anything President Trump did. This will not do any good for either side. We will never come together. The divide is way too wide.
All right, Buzz, sorry about that. I screwed up button pushing 101, so it's been downhill since then.
Well, I've turned on late, so I don't know if there's any talk about it, but there was just really an agonizing show on public television last night on Frontline called The Great Divide. Has anybody suggested that to you yet today?
No, they haven't.
It was on at 9 o'clock, and part one and two, and then part one, and then tonight it'll be on again. I know that's the middle of the night for you, but I'm sure it'll be on different times. You might want to watch it. It's called The Great Divide. It's Obama to Trump. And it was just their usual, you know, centrist coverage of the incredible, discouraging, disheartening ignorance and fear and prejudice that exists in this country and how it is actually getting worse instead of better. It was so aggravating to me to watch that show that I could not... Oh, man, somebody stopped right in the middle of the street.
That's not right.
Rural Road.
So anyway, The Great Divide was wonderful on TV, good viewing, and it shows how divided we are?
Yes, but it was so aggravating that I could only watch for about an hour because by 10 o'clock I was so angry and wound up that I was afraid I wouldn't be able to go to sleep. So, but basically it just points out the overwhelming unwillingness of people to listen to other possibilities. You take they showed Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh in their most insane, crazy, biased glory. And you watch that and you think, how could people believe any of this without any actual facts to back it up? But people don't care. You know, it's what they like. It's what they want things to be. And so that's what they're going to go with. And I'll tell you, this country is in trouble unless we start in kindergarten to get people to consider the possibility that the other person might have a good idea. And it's just this show hopefully will be offered to young people in school to watch and whatever.
Well, you say, Buzz, that they were fair and balanced and down the middle. What did they show about the other side's lack of respect and tolerance?
Well, they showed everything.
Well, you'd mentioned the Republicans and Beck and the conservatives, but you didn't mention the liberals and what they held them accountable for.
I'm not aware of any liberal talk show shock jocks. Are you?
Yeah, Joe Scarborough, for one.
I never heard of him.
Well, and you could listen
on... When is he on?
MSNBC in the morning, 6
to 9.
Supposedly
there's some on satellite. I wouldn't know one from another, but...
The only person that I ever watch and can stand watching on either side is Mike Smirkanish, and he's only on Saturday mornings. I know he's on Sirius. I used to listen to him when you guys had him. It was a great show. He's just unbelievably terrific and fair and a good listener. But besides that, but watch it if you... I know, is that too late for you too, Joe, at 9 o'clock? At night?
I have this new thing called a DVR, so I could hack it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I have one, too. I just know how it works. So
you just press a little button.
So it's the simplest thing. It's the simplest thing. What you do is you...
Because that's going to be a topic of a lot of conversation. And I thought it was well presented. And unfortunately, I couldn't watch it because I get so angry. You know, I'll try again. You can stream it on... when on Frontline and PBS, when their shows have run, you can go on a couple of days later and stream it at your convenience too, which is what I'll probably do.
Gotcha.
Anyhow,
right.
Just
thank
wanted
you
to
so
bring
much,
that up
Buzz.
And ask people to please watch that tonight.
Okay, thank
right.
you.
Thank you so much, Buzz. Appreciate the call.
Thanks, Buzz.
One of our listeners
doesn't sound very fair and balanced, though.
One of our listeners sends a note related to the Sunbury Police Department.
Says, back in the 80s, Sunbury Police were in the building next to the courthouse. Why did they move from there? Well, that was City Hall, and they moved from there because they ran out of space.
Right. City Hall needed more space, so they moved the cops out. Plus, occupying the basement is just an unsatisfactory way to live your work life.
Yeah, right.
It's dank and dismal and dark, and it's just not ideal.
Dank and dismal. There's
a
combination.
Well, SRI had their office down there, and they tolerated it, and it was free space, so they were, you know, glad to have it. But the fresh air system and the of course the lack of sunlight is just not ideal. You can do much better. How about that? That's what
okay.
We'll say. And that's Lawrence's and Joe's recollection. There may have been another bona fide reason. There was some flooding there, but I don't think that was involved in.
I think the flooding was in the courthouse, wasn't it?
Well, no, there's flooding in the City Hall, too. I mean, not feet and feet and feet, but, you know, inches regularly. Paul, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Well, your conversations this morning reminded me of an old saying, and that is, beware of Greeks bearing gifts, and it pertained to the Trojan horse.
Okay.
So, beware of what you see is not what you get.
In what regard, Paul? You've lost us here.
You're a presidential candidate,
I assume. Okay. The Trojan horse was supposed to be a gift, but it turned out to be its enemy.
Right. Your point being? Who's the Trojan horse that you're talking about? You're using a metaphor for whom?
Well, for Trump would be one.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So you think Trump is our enemy?
Well, take, for instance, you guys from Sunbury. You tore down the C.W. Rice school and put up an $18 million new school when, with $18 million, you could have renovated the old C.W. Rice.
There were a lot of mistakes made in that construction. There's no argument about that.
Okay, but did you guys ever read the article called Rush to Judgment?
Rush to Judgment.
It was a book. It was a book, wasn't it?
Well, I certainly didn't.
No. It was an article. It was in the Saturday Evening Post right after Kennedy got killed.
Oh, and you're going back a few years, Paul.
Yeah, well, even at that, today's people don't think in logic, and they rush to judgment, and when they find out that their judgment is wrong, then they try to hop on the bandwagon to make it right.
All right, we got you, brother. Thank you so much for the call. Good point. I really appreciate it. That definitely relates to the City Hall discussion, too.
And one of our emailers says,
be careful first.
Okay. Apparently, Buzz believes that when conservatives are angry, they must be stupid. But when liberals are angry, then they are righteous. He does not know the meaning of fair and balanced.
1-800-795-9565. Alto, terribly speedy dialers. You only got 30 seconds left. But, all right. So we'll be back tomorrow?
Well, I think we will. Yes. I have no other plans. Do you?
Unless our audience has officially driven off the side of the road.
I think we'll be interesting tonight to see the presidential debate, the Democratic presidential debate, and see how Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren handle each other, and whether or not supposedly they're all going to have to come after Joe Biden because he's leading in Iowa. And we'll see what happens there tonight. And then President Trump has a rally at about the same time on another channel.
So we'll be doing a little bit of the last channel recall.
And then Buzz wants us to watch something on PBS.
Well, you don't have to watch that tonight. You can watch that at your leisure coming up. You can download it later.
Okay, if you say so.
But we are divided, right?
We are divided.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening to WDKOK's On the Mark program. I'm Mark Joes here, and of course, nobody gets on the radio but through Rob Center, our fabulous producer, and we definitely appreciate his help and hard work. You are listening to WDKOK Sunbury.